to In the Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told. Spend some time in the country, now it's time we start the show.
My pleasure now to welcome to the show Alberta singer-songwriter J.J. Shiplett. He has a brand new album out. It's called Something to Believe In. We're going to hear some music from that album here on the show, and of course it's available for you at iTunes. Lots to talk about with J.J. Shiplett. Welcome to the show, J.J.
Hey, thanks very much for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you here, and I'm so excited to introduce our audience to your music, if they haven't already heard it, and there's definitely a good chance they have, but for those who haven't, I got to know your music through a Johnny Reed show that I saw in Hamilton in early 2016, and man, of course, I knew Johnny Reed, I loved him, but I wasn't aware of you at that point, and I was blown away by your music and your instrumentation.
Well, thank you very much. That Johnny Reed tour was an incredible experience for me and for the boys of the band. One thing that I know as an artist is you hope that if you get the opportunity to get in front of people and play in front of people that they'll like it, right? And Johnny gave me a massive opportunity to get in front of people and to give my music a chance to survive. So I'm grateful to him and had a life altering experience on that tour.
Incredible, as you said. I mean, to get that exposure in front of the audience. And, of course, you've got to have that voice that when you do have that opportunity is going to work. And in your case, it does. Anybody who hears you sing becomes a fan, as I did, because you just got that kind of voice. So for Johnny to give you that opportunity to get in front of all those people on that tour that went across Canada is incredible. So how did this happen? How did Johnny Reed find out about you?
I had sang on a friend of mine here in Calgary. I'd sang on her record. I'd sang a duet with her for a song called Truce. Her name was Joni Delorier. And
of course,
Johnny got his hands on her record and heard the duet that we did and ended up getting in contact with me and wanted me to come down to Nashville and work with him. And so I ended up doing it, and we ended up forging a bit of a relationship and decided to move forward. Now Johnny and his company Halo Entertainment is actually my management company, so I deal with Johnny on a regular basis, and I lean on him pretty heavily to guide me through this somewhat insane music industry.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It really is. You know, there's so many different parts to it, and there's so many different levels and things you got to do and people you got to know and. And you know, there's pressure and it's been nice to be able to rely on somebody like Johnny, who's been there, done that, and can help guide me through it. Especially somebody like Johnny, who has made a career in the Canadian country music scene, you know, and it kind of straddles the country music line.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. He's
so
got
when I kind of do that
country sound.
Thing.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you're doing as well, the country sound, but there's other stuff going on with your music. And I would imagine, as you said, so much stuff to know in the music business and the right people to know and all that, that without the right person, in this case Johnny Reed, to guide you, I could just imagine an artist getting lost because you wouldn't know what decisions to make or you know what choices to make, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing this for probably about 12 years now. I've been playing music and a lot of it was not full time. Some of it was full time. You know, seasons came and went where I was touring and playing lots of shows, but I was doing it all on my own. I was booking shows on my own. I was managing my own career, financing my own records, and financing my own tours and basically just barely surviving. And so, you know, like you can keep doing that and all that stuff prepares you for, I believe it prepares you for, you know, the next phase of your career. You sort of, you know, most artists have to spend a pretty good time in the trenches, right? Developing their craft, developing their voice, developing their songwriting. And so although it was tough, it's what you have to do. And so I'm grateful that I was able to do that. But you do need help getting through it and taking the next step. And luckily for me, Johnny is helping me take that next step right now.
He is such a showman, as we all know, anybody who's ever seen him perform. I mean, so great on stage, great in the audience, walks into the audience, starts dancing with audience members, and just makes the whole auditorium his, which is incredible.
Yeah, and that's something that it's one of those things that you have to that I take from Johnny. Is that I might not be the guy who's going to be running through the crowd, but Johnny gives his all when he's up there, and I'm trying to learn to make sure that every time I step up on stage, I give it my all.
You mentioned about the struggle earlier. I would think that even though at the time, obviously, nobody really wants to struggle, but once you start to have some success, I'm sure it makes the success that much sweeter. You appreciate it more. You know, the opposite extreme would be, say, winning a talent show, maybe hitting it big and not having a struggle along the way. Would you think those years you had of really having to do it all yourself and work hard makes now all that much sweeter?
You know, I really do think it does. It does. Like I'm grateful for what I have now. I do have a long way to go still. You know, right now we're just at the ball's rolling, but we got to really get some steam behind it. You know, and that's kind of what's happening now. I got a great opportunity in front of me now. I just need to take advantage of it. But I got a long way to go, and so it's that cheesy saying that it's not about the destination, it's about the journey, right? And that's where I'm at right now.
Right.
Is I'm trying to enjoy the journey, and I recognize that part of my journey was the days of playing bars in Princeton, BC, that when there's four people there, you know, and still having to give my all when I'm doing that, you know, and so I recognize that it's all just part of the journey, and then I gotta do it. But I'm grateful for everything that's happened in my music career up to this point, and now it's just got ball rolling and get it doing something, you know.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And you mentioned Joni Delorier earlier, and of course I recognize that name for her singing and her songwriting, along with her husband Troy Kokel, who the two of them make so much great music together and for other artists. What was it like singing on that track with Joni? She is such an amazing talent.
I met Troy and Joni so many years ago. They're real big proponents for the Canadian songwriters scene. They throw sort of celebrations all the time where people can get together and play their new compositions. Troy and Joni have been just so fantastic to me. They've been so supportive to me. You know, when they asked me to sing on the song, it was just a no-brainer for me. It was they've been such great supporters, such great friends, that it was like, sure. I went there, I sang on the song, and, you know, quite a bit of time went by in between when Joni released the album and when Johnny heard it, but I still thank them every time I see them to this day for allowing me to sing on that song and to be a part of it. So I'm so grateful to them.
What a great story that not only did they give you that opportunity, but what it led to, and maybe that's I don't know if it's a lesson or the right way to describe it, but I guess for somebody out there, you know, take on a project, no matter how big or small it is, it, in this case, led Johnny Reed to you. So you just never know when that break is going to come.
You know, you don't, and you have to be willing to be a part of the scene and do things. Because when you're not, if you're not willing to do stuff like that, then you're never going to get opportunity to take the next step. And so luckily for me, they gave me an opportunity, and me having no clue what that opportunity was actually going to present for me down the road. I said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked, you know, so far it's worked out pretty great for me.
Tell me about following the Johnny Reed shows, and you did a bunch of them. What was that like? What was the feedback like from people who had gone to see your show? And how did that feel knowing that, I mean, just the audience that it opened you up to?
You know, the response was just absolutely incredible. It was better than I could have ever expected it to be. People were floored by it. At the time, I had a a little EP which contained four songs off of Something to Believe In. And people were buying it like crazy. It actually debuted number three on the top country charts in Canada.
Wow.
It was
that's impressive.
It was a shock to me how well people took to it. And I think what it gave me and it gave the boys in the band a little bit of a push, you know, a little bit of like, hey, this is something that we can do. We can do this. It gave, you know, a little bit of belief in ourselves. And I think that I had such a life-changing experience just being on the tour. You know, we did 46 dates across Canada. We went from Vancouver all the way to Newfoundland. I'd never been to Newfoundland yet. And we did it in a tour bus. And I mean, if you're a starving musician, I think about what JJ Shiplett would have thought in 2008, you know, when I'm playing cafes
right around
Western Canada, I'm thinking about what that guy would have thought of. And hey, just so you know, in 2016, you're going to rip across the country in a tour bus and playing
for
thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
You know, so the experience alone was just something to motivate me. But then the response of the people that were there was just something totally unexpected and something I'm forever grateful for now. Like, you know, the boys in the band were all ready to go and we're excited about what the future holds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Let's turn to some music. The album is called Something to Believe In, and it is available at iTunes for people to purchase there. So let's start with the current single, Darling, Let's Go Out Tonight. And tell me a bit about it, JJ, before we play it here on the show.
Yeah, Darling, Let's Go Out Tonight. It's kind of in that classic sort of Springsteen vein of songwriting, of the story of two people who are in love, but maybe over time things have gone a little stale. They've gotten a little gray, but there's still the spark there, and so it tells a story about two people who kind of look at each other and they say, "Let's go out, let's go drink a little whiskey, let's go drink a little wine,
yeah.
Let's go dance the night away, and let's just go do it together and sort of find each other again." So, and I say the kind of the classic Springsteen thing because you know Springsteen always had that sort of that relationship's gone awry type of thing, right? And so it kind of pulls from that sort of vein. But it's a nice upbeat song. It can get you moving. Hopefully you can get people dancing when they're listening to it. It's a fun song to play live. Me and the boys really have a good time playing that one live.
Awesome. Awesome. It is a great song. Let's hear it now from my guest, singer-songwriter JJ Shiplett. This is Darling, Let's Go Out Tonight on In the Country.
Well, I can still remember when our clothes were on the floor and we moved like two bodies afraid of growing old, losing out to sleep. There was nothing we wanted more but your eyes. They grew gray over time and now you act like your heart was never mine. So darling, let's go out tonight. Oh, let's drink a little whiskey and wine. Leave all the things that we gotta do. I'd rather spend the night dancing with you. So darling, let's go out tonight. Well, now put on your new dress and I'll wait by the door. And I'll light me a cigarette like I before. You're just as pretty as you ever was. Man, there's nothing more than a time when we was young. Oh, how I wish you'd make me feel young. Darling, let's go out tonight. Oh, let's drink a little whiskey and wine. Leave all the things that we gotta do. Tell us to go.
And that is my guest, J.J. Shiplett, with his current single at radio. It's called Darling, Let's Go Tonight. You'll find it on his new album, just released a couple of days ago. The album is called Something to Believe In, and it's available at iTunes. And I also think if they head to your website, jjshiplettmusic.com, they can order a CD from there.
Yeah, they can. There's a store there, and they can order a CD, or they can order 10 CDs if they got some friends they want to give it to.
Exactly. I'm sure they got 9 friends who want to hear your music, so that's a perfect deal.
Yeah, well, that's what I need. I need people to share it, you know, so.
Exactly. That is so important.
I guess the cheaper way to do it, I guess, now would just share it on your Facebook or your Twitter or your Instagram. Or you could just buy 10 copies.
Exactly, one or the other. But yeah, even through social media shares, I'm sure you and other artists notice when people do that. Obviously, people checking that out could become a fan as well. However it gets to people, right?
Yeah, however it gets to people. You know, I've been telling everybody, you know, make sure you share it. Make sure you tell your family and friends. But the most important thing is that I need people to listen to it. You know, I want you to listen to it. I want you to buy the CD, and I want you to throw it on, or like if it's on your phone or it's on CD and it's in your car, I want you to listen to it. I want you to come to the show and sing along with me and be a part of it with me, you know.
And, I mean, it is music that you do want to listen to, and you will be moved by it. And in case in point, a song called Waters from the album, which we'll get to a bit later on the show here. On the album, tell me a bit about the songwriting breakdown. Are you a writer on all the songs? Are there co-writers as well?
Yeah, I wrote all the tunes, and I wrote a few of them with a good buddy of mine, Ryan McAllister, who's a songwriter out of Abbotsford, B.C. So a lot of these songs I've written over the past 6-7 years, some of them written only a couple of years ago. So it's kind of one of those, you know, it's a debut record, and you hear this from artists often, you know, your first record takes your whole life to write. You know, and then your second record, you have a couple years to do. So, but this record, this is, you know, there's 7 years of songs in there from me that have been refined in the live show and through previous recordings. And so I'm super pumped about it. I love all these songs. I believe in this record. I believe that it can really hit people right in the gut and the heart and hopefully give them something that they can really connect to, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Anybody listening to these songs or seeing you live will know that for sure. Your influences, JJ, who are those artists that inspired you and maybe pointed you in the direction you're in? And I think one of them you alluded to there or mentioned was Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, I've been a big Springsteen fan for a long time. I love the way the boss just kind of lays it all on the line, and you know, you have no choice but to be a part of it, right? Like you hear
absolutely.
A good Springsteen song, and he calls you to action in that song. I'm a big Neil Young fan, big Tom Petty fan. You know, it's Ryan Adams. I'm a big fan of the songwriters. You know, the guys who wrote the great songs. I've always been a fan of the song, and that's what I'm always drawn to. So those, you know, those are the biggest influences on me on sort of my overall how I am as a songwriter. But luckily, for, you know, like anybody with music, it's all so accessible now that there's just so many influences now that you can have in music.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it's such a challenge for me to pinpoint all of it down. But I mean, I was listening to Tom Petty when I was driving today. And
nice,
you know, I'll probably listen to some Neil Young or some Ryan Adams tonight, and you know, put a record on and relax at home. So there's, you know, those are my main influences there.
And as far as vocally and that voice that you have, JJ, when did you discover? When did that? When did your voice sort of come into its own and be what we hear today?
You know, I come from like a musical family. My grandfather on my mother's side was a church organist. My father was a guitar player. My uncle is still currently a guitar player and singer-songwriter in Saskatchewan. So I come from a pretty musical family. My sister plays piano and sings. And so it's always been part of who I am. I've always been a singer. When I was a kid, a close family friend wrote, I was probably 7 or 8 years old, wrote out the lyrics to the American National Anthem and taught me the melody of it. And I mean, I love the American National Anthem. It's a beautifully written song, right? Mm-hmm. And I used to stand on my front porch in Brandon, Manitoba, and I would belt it at the top of my lungs. You know, I'm sure the neighbors were like, "Shut that kid up!" But you know, so I say all that to say that I've been singing. I've been singing a long time, and my voice has developed, and it's become sort of its own thing as I've gone, but it's definitely something that's developed over time that, you know, 10 years ago it was similar, but it probably didn't sound like it does now after so many, after so many gigs and late night bar gigs, you know, they take its toll after a while.
And your kind of voice that works for that, the raspy or the husky, however you would describe whatever your voice is, I kind of picture that. It's those things add to it, I would think.
Oh yeah, it's the whiskey soaked, you know, voice,
right.
and that's what it is, and you know, I've never been one to shy away from a glass of whiskey.
That's awesome. We're going to turn to Waters in just a few moments, which is an amazing song. But songwriting itself, when did you discover songwriting? When did you first start making these music and lyrics?
Well, you know, I was always interested in songwriting, even from a young age. I just don't think I knew quite how to do it and quite how to sort of jump off the ledge and just begin. And so when I was a teenager, I began to sort of dabble in it and trying to find it. And I was writing songs. Most of them weren't that good, but I started writing. And then as the years went by, I started to actually fall in love with the actual process of songwriting. I am the type of songwriter who I will start something and I will mull over it and I will mull over it again. And again,
right.
Until I get it to a point where I go, "Hey, this is something I can show a producer or one of the boys in the band." So it takes me a little while to write songs, but most of it's because I want to be authentic when I'm writing songs. I want it to be from my heart. I want it to be from my gut, and I want it to just great connect with somebody else. And every time I try and fake that, I end up with a song that I don't want to sing. But every time that I follow that sort of lead and I try and make, and I have every ounce of my being into a song, those are the songs I love to sing. And so I aim for that all the time.
Those are great thoughts on songwriting and being an artist because, listeners can tell, right, when somebody is really into it or not as much into it. And just the satisfaction for you is going to be greater when you poured out your heart.
Yeah, you know, the listener can tell. And it might be subconscious, it might be conscious for them, but they can tell.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to make somebody who listens to my music go, is that authentic? Does he mean that? I want them to listen to it and be like, "Oh, that got me."
Yeah. That's what a great song and voice will do. I mean, the song we're about to play, Waters, when I listen to that, I mean, I just had to sit here and listen, and images come to my mind, and so the song takes on a meaning for me. And songs like that become a part of people's lives. They hear it, and not just the once, but every time they go back to it, it sort of stirs up those images or has that meaning. So let's talk about Waters before we play it here, and specifically this song. Tell me about the meaning behind it.
Well, you know, it almost feels like a Celtic love song. It has it now. It's got some more Celtic instrumentation in it. I've said this before when I've been talking about my record, but my record is, there's a real sense of sort of longing in it. Whether it be longing to be a better man, longing to be a better friend, a better brother. But the real main theme for it is longing to be a better lover. And Waters is the type of tune for me that is that when I wrote it as I think with I probably wrote it probably about 5-6 years ago, and I wrote it with just a real authentic idea of what love was, a real non-jaded version of it that no, but love can kind of cover a multitude of wrongdoings and baggage from your past, and so that's kind of where the song comes from. It deals with, you know, I have my issues and I have my faults and I have my darkness, but I'm present, you know, like, but I'm presented with a love that is able to sort of make those things null and void anymore and to create a fresh new beginning. And so Waters goes down that sort of a deep path that maybe that's a convoluted answer for that song, but it's a simple love song, really.
Beautiful. Well, I love the way you explained it, and I can't wait for our listeners to hear it. This is Waters from my guest, singer-songwriter J.J. Shiplett. What a beautiful song, and that from my guest, J.J. Shiplett. It's on his brand new album called Something to Believe In. The song is called Waters. You'll want to get that song and the rest of them, 11 tracks in total, of course, at iTunes. You can get the CD at jjshiplettmusic.com, order it from there, and it'll be shipped to you. Man, this has been great chatting. I wanted to know, J.J., what you've got in store for 2017 and what you hope to accomplish this year with the brand new album and the shows you're going to do.
Well, we got shows. We got shows coming up all throughout the whole year here. Some have been announced, or we're waiting to announce a few more now. So basically, right this year, it's get out and play. You know, as we said earlier on, as we've been chatting here, I need the opportunity to get in front of people and play, and I'll always need that. And if I can get that opportunity, hopefully I can seize it, and people can connect with the music. But it's just going to be your playing shows and getting out there and trying to make a difference out there.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, really excited to know that you've got the album out, and of course, more shows coming up. More people who, if they haven't heard you before, will sort of sit there spellbound and just be taken in by your voice. So, JJ, thanks. I wish you all the best, and it was great to have you on the show.
Hey, thank you very much. This is great. Appreciate it a lot.
You bet. My guest has been Alberta singer-songwriter J.J. Shiplett. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.